Just a thought, really, about prostitutes, because under the law of Moses, a prostitute was to be burnt, and the language was fairly tough that this must be done lest the whole land turn to sexual immorality, especially given the fact that prostitution was typically associated with idol cults, etc. And yet you read the tacit acceptance that prostitutes were known and were not killed. For example, in Leviticus 21, you have legislation that priests should not marry a woman who is a prostitute, nor a woman who's divorced from her husband. So it was sort of accepted within the very structure of God's law that people would sin, be in one sense worthy of destruction by burning in this case, and yet they lived and were known to be alive. And the command was the priests shouldn't marry them. Well, what are we to make of that? I think it indicates that God recognizes that his law could be kept on different levels. When you come to Solomon, he was faced with two prostitutes who were arguing about whose child had died. And we're told that it was by God's wisdom that he responded to that situation. Now, to keep the law of Moses, he could have said, oh, two prostitutes arguing about your kid, about whose kid died and whose kid didn't. Right, let's keep the law. Let's burn both of you. End of story. And put the remaining child into adoption, maybe within the temple. But he doesn't. He does not follow God's law because he had wisdom. And he shows grace. And by the way that he judged that situation, including apparently not punishing the woman who was lying, he manifested the wisdom of God, and everybody in Israel recognized that. So are we saying then that God's law is kind of not serious? Well, of course not. We are not saying that there's a sort of a safety net around the whole relationship of God and man in that, you know, in the final analysis, God isn't going to judge you. No, that is not, of course, the conclusion we can take. But when you look, for example, at the issue of adultery, if a man's wife committed adultery, he actually had a number of options. He could have her slain. He could have her killed. That was within the legislation of the Mosaic law. Within that same law, there is the trial of jealousy of Numbers 5, where he can get her to drink this water, and if she is guilty of adultery, then she will be smitten with barrenness, and yet she's not to be killed, she's just going to be barren. Or, again, within the legislation and the law of Moses, she could be divorced. He could divorce her for adultery. Or you come to the unspoken position, which you see manifested in Hosea. He could simply forgive her. And that, of course, is what Hosea shows us God was doing to his people. They committed adultery. He could have destroyed them immediately, but he didn't. He forgave them. Now, that shows then that the law of Moses was not a list of whatever 613 black and white situations whereby this must happen if that is done. To the legalistic mind, this is terribly difficult. This is very, very upsetting and confusing. But it just shows that within the law of Moses and within all God's dealings with man, there is this opportunity to serve him on different levels. And of course, if you love God, you will want to serve him on the highest level, in the case of adultery, to forgive. And the existence of the different levels, I think, is to encourage us away from a black and white legalistic approach to God, but towards relationship with him. Because, as I say, if you want to serve God, you want to serve him as best you can, and to the highest level. And that is why he has given us these different levels of service. And that, I think, will be reflected in how we shall eternally be. One star will shine brighter than another throughout eternity. Some will rule over 10 cities, 5 cities, 2 cities, etc. People will make a different amount out of the talents that they're given to trade with. And that also helps us, I think, in coping with the fact that others within the community of believers do not respond to God's truth to the same extent as maybe we do, or as to the extent we think they should. And there is, within all God's teaching then, this acceptance of different levels. And as I say, that is helpful in coping with the failures of others. And sadly, we're more sensitive to the failures of others than we are to our own failures. I think, therefore, that any sort of church position that if this happens, then this must always happen, as in the church of my youth, if you divorced and remarried, that was the end of you. If you even got engaged to a person who was not a baptized believer, well, from the point of view announcing the engagement, out you go. No, this is not the way to go. This is not inculcated by a study of God's law, nor is it inculcated by experience of God in relationship. To just make a law that says, in this case, this shall happen. This is absolutely contrary to the whole spirit of how God works with people. And so there was this tacit admission that prostitutes, for example, would be known, like, don't marry that woman if you're a priest, because she is a prostitute. The legislation says they shall not marry a woman who is a prostitute, not who was, but who is. And as I say, the example of Solomon with the prostitutes is that he full well knew who they were and what they were doing. But the way of wisdom and of grace was to actually accept them. And through how he judged, he manifested God's glory and God's wisdom and God's grace. So the takeaway from all this is that we will seek to love God on the highest possible level. And day by day, we have these choices. We have different possible levels at which we can respond to God. And, you know, if you love him with all your heart, you're going to try not to be a minimalist, but to give all that you can for him.